this month on Disney Channel.
Have you ever written something that caused something else to happen?
Lexi's the coolest girl in school, but when something she writes leads to trouble, she's got to solve the mystery herself. Lexi Gold is played by Lindsay Lohan.
Hey, hi, welcome back to Disney Channel Original Groupies.
Hello, hello.
We are doing a special remote. Well, it's not special because we're just doing this now.
This is just life now.
As I mentioned in the last episode, Rebecca is a genius and goes to NYU now.
I mean, I won't say I'm not.
So now we're your fave long distance podcast.
Yeah, it's a long distance relationship, but it's a strong one.
Yeah, so
I think these crazy kids are going to make it.
Yeah, we're going to fix the sound, make sure that it's good to go in the future, but for now, this is what it is.
Yeah, sorry about the quality on my end, but hey, that's New York, baby.
So let's get into some Disney Channel news for this week.
Throw it at me.
Okay, so our prayers have been answered, because literally a couple episodes we were talking that, like, what is Frankie Muniz up to? And ABC took it in their own hands, and he is on the upcoming season of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh my god! Wow, from boxcar racing to I don't know, a foxtrot. Yeah.
So I think what we should do is, like, every week have, like, an update on his performances and, like, what kind of style he did and, like, how he did. I think that that would just, like, be a really good thing to keep up with.
I think so, too. So, watch out for that. We'll be keeping tabs so you don't have to watch.
Yeah. I honestly am so excited for this. God bless. There's another Disney Channel actor in it named Jordan Fisher. He was in Teen Beach.
Oh, wait. Did you say Teen Beach Movie? Sorry, yeah. Connection?
Yeah.
Oh, is he the guy who had the Corbin blue hair?
Yes.
Okay.
So, we'll also keep updated on him, but, like, mostly Frankie.
Of course. We have our priorities in order. And speaking of priorities in order, I think we should just hop right into the movie review.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, that's the most important news of the week.
Got a little answer, there is something going on now. The clothes I bought, the friends I got, my teacher had a meltdown. Then I look at me, and I start to see, and a voice inside tells me what I must do. Wake up, boo noo, it's me, it's a get a clue.
So, did you know that this movie was filmed in Toronto at BSS?
What?
Yeah, that's like a real thing.
I know that all of their movies are filmed usually like in or around Toronto, but like this one was at least half convincing most of the time.
Yeah, I think they did that thing where they like get New York like scenery, but then like it was just, like, all the indoor scenes were in Toronto, and that made me very happy. And speaking of Canada, the first song that this movie starts with is so clearly, I heard it right away, I died, it opens with a Prozac song.
Oh my god. Kate, because those voices, I was like, this is, like, some weird kind of, like, fake British weird sound, but that's what it is. It's that weird Prozac accent. No one sounds like Prozac except Prozac.
Nobody sounds like Prozac, and this is the funniest thing when I looked this up, because, like, obviously I knew that it was Prozac. I googled this and it said, a song by the band Prozac, Get a Clue, appeared in the film and music video. The name of the band was changed to Simon and Milo, or Milo. The characters depicted in the music video, so their band name would not be associated with the drugs.
Oh my god. And for those of you who don't know, Prozac is a Canadian cartoon band, and it's these cartoon guys with floating heads and no necks, and they are Jackie's, I think, favorite band of all time.
They are literally, I paid $30 in March, I was still in a knee brace. I tore my knee earlier in the year. I was still in a knee brace, and I still, like, couldn't really walk, but I made sure that I was at the Prozac concert. Anyway, into the actual movie.
Yeah, so we're opening on a Prozac song, and we're opening on, like, everyone's dream bedroom from when they were 10. There's a chair that's shaped like a shoe.
I laughed, like, because the first thing that Lindsay Lohan does is order, like you know those, like, McDonald's microphones that they put on in drive-thrus? She, like, contacts her best friend, Jen.
Full telemarket center headgear, kind of like how you're set up now on this recording.
Yeah, basically, same deal. Yeah. And she has to call her best friend Jen, who is played by the one and only Brenda Song.
It took me so long to figure that out. Like, in the back of my head, what? I knew, but I didn't, like, know, because she's such a baby.
But, like, it's Brenda Song. She's, like, the most recognizable face in showbiz.
I know. Well, it didn't take that long, but it's just, she's so young. She's fun in this movie. They're all fun in this movie. Did we say it was Lindsay Lohan already? Because that's, like, key, okay.
That's key that it is. Lindsay Lohan is the star of this movie. And so, basically, Lindsay Lohan is super, super rich. And, like, we learn this right away, like, based on, like, the McDonald's headset that she calls her friend right away. And she's like, what am I going to wear? She, like, has this really beautiful rich room, and she has a server. And another thing that indicates that Lindsay Lohan is super rich is that her name is Lexi Gold.
Lexi Gold. We all had a Lexi Gold in our Hebrew school class.
That's sure. That's so true. And also, like, not only Lexi Gold, like, everyone in this movie has the most Jewish name pos.
Yeah, right, because there's, like, Professor Goldblum or whatever. I love it. Miss Stern.
Love it. So we open on this movie, and, like, basically we find out that Lexi wrote a story about her two teachers having, like, an affair, and it got published in the real newspaper. Her dad's reading it, and he's like, good job! And she's like, oh, thank you.
This premise is, like, this whole movie is based on a premise that would truly never happen. The idea that, like, a 12-year-old would write an article about teachers at her school hooking up, and this would become, like, a widely picked up news story. It's just, it's shocking, and I love it.
Like, okay, to be fair, it is in the junior journalism section of the newspaper, but, like, still,
but what this is hard crazy journalism. Ass,
what newspaper would pick this up? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, with the spy camera picture of them taken without their permission, because she has the wacky little sister who's really into spy gear, of course.
Wacky little sister trope. She has this little sister who's, like, really, her hobby is, like, being a spy. It's not, like, soccer, it's just, like, being a spy.
Yeah, it's not even, like, science, really. She just, like, buys spy equipment and then uses it.
In the beginning, then we have this montage, like, when she's getting ready and going to school. We have this weird clip of all of the rich New York 12-year-olds walking to school, like, on their cell phones in their colored bell bottoms, and, like, I died.
The looks are, like, it's just such a pure distillation of 2000s looks, because it's, like, with endless money and with the style sensibilities of 12-year-old children. Someone was carrying a purse that was the shape of an alligator, like, not even an alligator bag, but just, like, the shape of an alligator, and I was like, I want that.
Yes, also, this was the phase of fashion where brightly covered fur was, like, the shit, and also sunglasses that were tinted but also colored, like, very Mary-Kate and Ashley.
The sunglasses game in this movie, like, it's so incredible. I love it. They've got that weird, thin, oval matrix shape. But, yeah, they have, like, an orange or a pink tint. Like, I really, really
and,
liked it.
Like a heart rhinestone at the bottom.
Yes! I had those!
Yes, they were so good. Okay, so Lexi goes into school, and she immediately goes up to Mr. Walker, and she's like, hi, Mr. Walker. Mr. Walker is one of the two teachers that she wrote a story about. And I was like, okay, bitch, you literally just outed this man, and now you're just like, hey.
Yeah, bold.
Yeah, that was a little bold. And then this is the first time that we see the one and only Bug Hall.
Bug Hall! So remind me what Bug Hall is in.
Bug Hall plays Alfalfa in Little Rascals, which growing up was my favorite movie, but I'm very confused in this movie, especially because I've already seen this movie before, like multiple times before this podcast. And as a tween, I totally thought he was hot in this, and I was so confused.
Yeah, it's weird to have that picture of Alfalfa in your head with the full crazy freckles and the hair, and then, like, here's this kind of, like, sort of like a mangy version of Logan from Zoe 101, kind of, like,
yes.
Just kind of, like, definitely, like, tween cute. Can't put it together. Like, you had told me 2 weeks ago that's who it was, and even just now watching it this week, I, like, couldn't process it.
It does not look like him, but he's, like, such a heartthrob. And so we get the sense that Lexi is really popular girl at school because everyone's coming up to her and they're like, good job, Lex. Great job, Lex. Amazing story.
Yeah, we get the sense because they make it like very obvious that
yeah.
She rules the school.
Also,
people are like, you're a star.
Yeah, and everyone was like, oh, I saw your story this morning. I saw your story this morning. And I was like, what a bunch of journalism-conscious 12-year-olds. Like, everyone's reading the morning paper.
This is a very prestigious junior high school, as noted by Miss Stern, the admissions officer. Like,
yes. okay, so Bug Hall, whose name in the movie mm-hmm. is Jack, he immediately, like, makes fun of her article. And so we are like, oh, they have a rivalry. They don't like each other. There's a lot of tension here.
Yeah. And that's kind of the beginning of when I realized that this movie is like a little baby version kind of like of a film noir. Like it's a fun decom film noir. Because we have this voiceover where she's making puns. We've got them doing detective work all over town. There's a big set piece in a hotel room. She has like this screwball banter with man, like it's a bit of a kind of like a 50s detective movie.
I guess I can see that. That's kind of hilarious.
Is that a stretch? Am I stretching? You guys can't
no,
see this right
funny.
Now, but I'm stretching so wide my like feet are behind my ears.
Also, trope immediately presented is their friend Gabe, who is the best friend who's always filming.
There's
no
always the best, the camcorder boy, the cam boy.
There's a cam boy and, like, not sure why that's his thing. Like, people have really weird, like, things here. Like, it's all very convenient for the plot. Like, oh,
I think
he's
it's
the one that's always recording.
Yeah, I think that, like, these moneyed students just have, like, very, very quirky and eccentric pastimes.
Also, immediately, I forget his name, but then I'm like, oh my god, Radio Free Roscoe.
Wait, no, this kid wasn't.
Yes, he clearly, yes, I think he was Ray.
Toronto?
Yes.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. It's Baby Pronto. Also, for people who don't know, Radio Free Roscoe, iconic Canadian series.
It was actually legit.
It absolutely was. Like, I was following, like, that drama.
Me too.
So
apparently everyone in this school writes for the newspaper, and they have mm-hmm. the nicest office, like, probably nicer than the New York Times.
Why is it that, yeah, like, school newspapers in movies are always, like, full newsroom, you hear clickety-clacking, you hear, like, the printing press going, like, it's a full
Not
operation.
Only that, that's what I was gonna say, they have a literal printing press. Like, I feel like that's not necessarily normal. Like,
yeah,
did you write for the high school newspaper?
I was editor of our high school newspaper, and
I forgot about that.
Like, our printing press was a copy of Adobe Illustrator on my personal computer.
Yeah, like, this school has, like, a real printing press that I feel, like, costs thousands of dollars and is, like, an antique, but sure.
That's what their tuition's going towards.
Yeah.
Anyway, we find out she runs an advice column and everyone in the school looks to her for advice. He's the editor, but he considers what she does, like, soft news and fluff.
Yeah, this is Jack. He's like, oh, he calls it a gossip column. He's like, oh, gossip
right.
column. And she's like, I'm actually a journalist with journalistic integrity, so fuck off.
Yeah, good,
like,
for her.
You're not really, though, because you write for a gossip column.
and she's 12. Right. So then she's in the stairwell and she overhears these teachers that she wrote the report about having like a very dramatic, messy breakup.
Yeah, so the teachers' names are Miss Dawson, who is the fucking creepiest looking woman I've ever seen in my life.
So creepy.
Is her acting not like, she always talks like this and is like always scared, and it's like, you're so creepy.
Yeah, I thought something was wrong with her. She kind of looks like, remember when you came to my house to record the other week and there's that, like, statue, like, up on, like, a mantle that the people who used to live in the house left there? She looks like that statue, just, like, cursed. That's, like, a cursed woman.
She really does. So, yeah, so she overhears them talking, and Mr. Walker is Miss Dawson was like, oh, I don't love you, but I never meant to hurt you. And then Miss Dawson is like, but we made all those plans. Orlando. And I was like, wait. Your plans to run away together? You're going to go to Orlando? Like, of
no,
all
Orlando's,
places to elope.
Orlando's his name.
Oh, wait. Did I just really...
Wait, I like your version so much more, though.
Wait, his name was Orlando Walker?
Yes!
Oh. Okay, I thought that she was saying, like, we made all those plans, dot, dot, dot. Orlando, like, we were going to go to Orlando, like, get married at Disney World.
We'll always have Harry Orlando.
Potter.
Yeah. That's some nice Disney synergy.
That's kind of hilarious that I thought that.
Well, it makes more sense than someone's name being Orlando, but we have Orlando Brown in the DCOM universe. So.
That's such a good point. Okay, so next we see is that, like, it's the next morning, and Lexi's dad is like, I have some bad news for you, Lexi. Like, after your story in the junior journalism section of the paper got out, like, Mr. Walker is missing. And it's like, dun-dun-dun-na!
So that's a lot of responsibility to put on Lexi's shoulders, and there's like a shot of like the cops pulling a car out of the East River. Like, it gets really dramatic really quickly. Except this movie, one thing I like about it is it's always light on its feet and it never takes itself too seriously or seriously at all. This movie is just like a breeze. It's a joke.
I agree. Immediately she calls Brenda Song.
Who sleeps
with
in her headset.
Yeah, her hotline bling device. And, like, all of a sudden, like, this is a national news story.
Yeah.
So, also, side note, they have, like, career day in class, like, every day, where they bring in an adult and, like,
oh, I forgot
their job.
About this.
And they bring in a taxidermist, and his name is Mr. Greenblatt. So I was like, damn. Literally everybody in this movie is Jewish, even the taxidermist.
It's, like, really extra. Also, Lexi and Brenda Song show up to school wearing, like full glamorous widow outfits.
Yes, they're very dramatic. And, like, I don't know if you found this, but, like, this movie gave me such... at times Clueless and also at times Mean Girl vibes. Probably Mean Girls because it's literally Lindsay Lohan narrating all the drama unfolding in her life. But Clueless because she's always making, in like times of trauma where like she thinks her teacher is dead, she's talking about like her other classmates, like skincare. Like, wow, they could really use a facial and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, what?
I kind of really like that comparison, and I think that's something that, like, is to the testament of the, like, it's a testament to this movie, is that it works in that genre and that tone, like, really well.
Yeah. And so, a detective comes into school, and he's like, Lexi, I gotta talk to you, because he has the worst New York accent ever.
Like, accompanied by the worst fake Pringles can mustache ever.
I totally thought of the Pringles can as well. I actually also thought of the Monopoly mascot.
Yeah, very, like, young Mr. Monopoly. Like, this looked like a costume, like, off of, like, the Amanda Show or something. It didn't look like a real character in a thing.
Totally. So Jack confronts her, and they realize that this story actually is, like, very big, and so they decide to work together to solve the mystery of where Mr. Walker has gone, despite their differences and hatred towards each other.
They're going to work together, because otherwise, Miss Dawson, like, that girl's getting sent to jail.
Or might go by herself to Orlando.
Yeah. I'd do that. So then, but first, they have to have a trying on clothes montage.
Right.
So, Lexi's doing that with what's her name? Jen? Is Brenda Song's name Jen? So they're trying on clothes and talking about stuff. It's pretty funny. And then she goes
Jen to Jen confronts Lindsay Lohan, and she's like, oh my god, Jack totally likes you. That's why he's always so mean to you. And Lexi is like, ew, no, are you crazy? Oh my god. Like, in the fakest way possible.
Yeah. That's kind of Jen's only role. She doesn't really get to be a character except for being like, Lexi, you're so cool, or like, Lexi, Jack likes you so much.
Yeah, when I was looking up interviews with like the cast for this movie, I came across the Brenda Song one where she's like, my character isn't a very good detective, but like, she really likes fashion. And I was like, wait, you have no purpose in this film.
Yeah. So then she goes to see her weird sister, and like in her high tech room, and she says, I like what you've done with the place, like as if she doesn't literally live in the same apartment, but also adding to my theory that this is like full film noir and they don't even care if it makes sense or not, like
yes. And also Lindsay Lohan is like, where do you get all this crap? And her sister's like, the local spy shop. And I was like, oh, classic, you know, like the local spy shop on your corner. And then I googled it, and actually there's a local spy shop pretty close to my house.
Oh my god.
So like, it's not actually that weird. And then Lindsay Lohan decides to go to the local spy shop with Jack in the most hilarious outfit.
This was my favorite outfit of the movie.
Seen in my life. She's wearing white bell-bottom, like, not denim, but, like, not denim, like, some sort of thick material.
Mm-hmm.
With large red cherries all over them.
Sure.
And then it's completed with a pink shrug made of fur.
Yeah.
And the aforementioned tinted pink sunglasses with a rhinestone heart on them.
It's like, this is the iconic look of the movie. This was my first time seeing Get a Clue. I don't know why I missed it the first time around, but like, this is what I envisioned. And it didn't disappoint.
Yeah. So they let Gabe and Jen join the operation too, because they're like, oh, more people. And then Jack enters it, because he's, like, apparently, like, the broody poor one. And he's like, wow, so this is how the other half lives. It's like, okay.
And then they find out that to go to Mr. Walker's house to snoop around, they're gonna have to go to Brooklyn. And Lexi says, I am not schlepping out all the way to Brooklyn.
No, and it was Jen, like, who said that.
It was Jen. No.
And I laugh because this just once again shows the Judaism of the writers, because they got the Asian character to say, I'm not schlepping all the way out to Brooklyn.
That's also just how it is in New York, baby. Everyone says schlep.
So Lindsay Lohan, like, gets to Brooklyn, and she's like, wow, it's so fun here. This is crazy. Look at the arts. Look at the people. There's like a guy playing the drums on the street. There are like two people holding hands, and she's like, wow, can you believe it? Like,
yeah, it's people, like, who are super boring and middle-aged, but, like, I guess it's exciting because there's, like, bricks. Like, I don't know, buildings made out of bricks. Like, I couldn't really...
And then she accidentally bumps into this homeless person, and he gives the camera / Lindsay Lohan, like, the creepiest stare. She's like... And that's your first moment, like, who is this random man? Because you can tell that it's a man dressed as a homeless man. Like, it's very obvious.
Yeah, like, actually, after the detective's mustache, I, like, wasn't so sure what to believe anymore in terms of costumes. But, yeah. So it seems like that.
Yeah, and also she's like, he's definitely wearing Mr. Walker's coat. And Jack is like, how the fuck would you know that? And she was like, I know a rag when I see one. And that was Mr. Walker's fugly coat on that homeless man. He's like, okay.
I love the trope in this movie, which is like a very common Disney trope and in general things trope of like a girl using her girly girl things to like actually save the day and like be smart. It's the Legally Blonde perm
totally
thing, and it just works
absolutely. Also, question for you, we forgot to say at the beginning of this podcast that the reason that we're doing this movie is because it's New York themed this week to celebrate Rebecca moving to New York. But they also reference in this movie, like, oh, everything, but you've never been below 14th Street. And, like, this isn't the only time. Now that you've lived in New York, can you tell me what the fuck is below 14th Street? Because in Rent, you know how in Light My Candle, the line is like, they say that I've got the best ass
below 14th
Street. And I'm like, what is everything below 14th Street? So please explain.
Okay, here's my answer for you. Below 14th Street is everything. Frankly, you do not need to go above it. At 14th Street today, I went to Whole Foods, and like that's the most north I will go. So,
but what is above 14th Street?
Above 14th Street, you have Midtown, so like Times Square and shit like that, Central Park, you know, Upper East Side, Upper West Side, and below 14th Street, you have like Greenwich Village, Lower East Side, Chinatown. That's where my school is.
Gotcha. Thanks for clarifying.
No problem. I'm really relating to this movie's theme of schlepping to Brooklyn because that's my life now.
So I guess that means that implies that she probably lives in Upper East Side if I'm using my like non-New York knowledge.
Oh, this is for sure fancy Upper East Side. I don't think there's any doubt. But then again, I'm speaking as someone who hasn't been. But I think I'm going this weekend, so I'll let you know if I see, like, these fashions. Like, if I see anyone wearing white cherry pants.
Please let me know.
This weekend, I'll let you know. Yeah.
So, anyway, back to this. So, they decide to go to Brooklyn to check out Mr. Walker's apartment while they leave Jen and Gabe at home. They've bugged Miss Dawson's house so that they can always be watching a live video feed of her apartment.
Super creepy.
And outside the apartment, they find Miss Stern, the school's admissions officer, and they're like, suspicious, because they're detectives.
Yep. They're putting clues together, and then they break and enter.
And then in the apartment, there's like a scary moment where it's like, you know that she's going to find something scary, and she's walking around, and there's scary music, and then she's like, ah! Sorry, she screams.
Yep, that was good.
And then she finds Detective Goldblum, and this is the part in the movie where I started to lose understanding of the plot.
Right.
Who is Detective Goldblum, and what is this accent?
No, this is actually Detective Meany. Goldblum is the guy who runs the paper. This is Meany. Sorry, there's too many characters. And you know he's a bad guy because his name is Meany.
Right. They really didn't try and hide that.
And here's the thing. So she's suspicious of him being, like, a New York detective because he has a fancy watch and a nice suit. And I'm thinking, I would be suspicious that he's a New York detective because he has a weird British accent. But, okay.
That's a better point than Lexi's, for sure. So then he kind of gives them a warning and is like, don't bother, like, looking for this. Like, this isn't your case, blah, blah, blah. So then they also see him enter Miss Dawson's apartment, and then he hugs her. Was this the same guy? Because once again, I was kind of confused about the plot here.
So this is the other guy. So this is Goldblum who enters the apartment, not Meany.
I thought that they were the same person this whole time.
Yeah, they should have done a better job differentiating them, or they should have just not had this subplot where they're watching their teacher, like, through a video camera at a distance for 20 minutes, because, yeah, it makes things confusing.
Right. Also, like, I guess it's because, to me, Goldblum and Meany look exactly the same.
Yeah, they were kind of the same type. But then, meanwhile, while that's happening in Manhattan, Jack and Lexi go to Jack's house, where it's a big reveal that he lives in Brooklyn. Yeah,
I live across the street because Brooklyn, everyone's together in Brooklyn.
And like, I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure like Carroll Gardens is like a very nice area, but he's very poor. His brother's in the Navy and he has a dead dad. So like, check, check, check.
Yeah. And, what was funny about this is that this was so, okay, again, this is coming from the perspective of someone who literally knows jack shit about New York, but like, to me, it was like, oh, Brooklyn, like, the rough area, and I was thinking, like, now it's just, like, the trendiest shit, that this must have been pre-super gentrification.
Yeah, I mean, speaking as, like, a very guilty gentrifier, like, yeah, that's all I've got. But they look up in a database, Charles Meany, and they find an email from Mr. Walker, which is very spooky, because how could a dead man send an email?
Yeah, and then they find out that his name is actually Nicholas Petrosian.
So Nicholas Petrosian clearly disappeared himself. So they're gonna need to track him down in Brighton Beach.
Meanwhile...
in
Manhattan goes, Lexi is paging us to meet back at her place. And I was like, sorry, qua? You guys are paging each other?
Yeah.
This is 2002.
Oh, you best believe they're paging each other.
This is 2002, not 1992. Like, that just does not... They wouldn't be paging each other. Sorry.
Plus, we've already, like, seen cell phones exist in the world of this movie. Like, and walkie-talkies. The pager is excessive.
Like, they would just call, because as shown in the montage at the beginning of the school day, everybody is talking on their cell phones.
Yeah. Anyway, what happens next? Let's just go right to when they go and track down Nicholas Petrosian's mom, my favorite character.
Right. Oh my god, yes, because she is all of our bubbies.
She is pretty eccentric. She's a very wacky one. She's got Russian nesting dolls. She's got her jewels and baubles.
She has really big brooches, like very classic, like chunky blazers with like big shoulders and large floral patterns on them.
So she loves her son. Her son is Walker/Petrosian. He's been laying low at his mom's house. And then we also get, so to explain what's happened and why he has this dual identity, we get an 80s banking flashback.
Which is the best.
It was so, like, what a weird thing to include in a kid's movie, but okay. So he looks fully like George Costanza, and we learn this story, which is that...
I thought that, too.
He was... You did?
Yes.
He did! So he was a banker in Arizona, and he got like a big account or something, but he was just being used and framed in a fraud and embezzlement and money laundering scheme. So he was under arrest for embezzling $10 million. So he took up the identity of this teacher, Orlando Walker, in New York and starting life. I think I got that right. This is, like, genuinely confusing.
It was confusing. Once again, like, I didn't fully understand this plot. anyway, so they decide that they need to help him. So they believe him and his mother, who's like, I'm going to see the day when they are put away and my baby is... like, blah, blah, blah. And so they're like, okay. They all decide to go on a official secret agent mission, trademark. And they get in their hilarious get-ups. They're all wearing, like, do you remember, this is a very specific reference.
Okay.
But do you remember Chris from NSYNC?
Chris Kirkpatrick, sure.
Yes. They all are dressed like him.
Yes. I was thinking Matrix, but I like yours way better.
Yeah, Matrix, now that I think about it, works. But, like, Chris Kirkpatrick is what I thought of, because just, like, weird black bell bottoms with leather, but also, like, pineapple hair. Like, yeah, to me, they're just all dressed like Chris Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, like, the world's least flattering shape of sunglasses, everything.
Yes. So
they decoded this blackmail message.
Yeah, so with the help of their spy sister, she, like, has all this tech stuff where she can, like, read invisible ink and, like, outfit. She does this really ridiculous thing where she, like, puts a remote on a door so she can, like, go beep and the door closes and everyone's like, wow. And I was like, that kind of seems like a waste of time.
Yeah, and, like, she's clearly outfitted the whole house with them, and also, who cares? More impressive was that she outfitted the living room of the house, like, with black lights. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah, I was like, how much time did you have here? So they make this plan of, like, they walk down the street in the montage in their ridiculous Chris Kirkpatrick outfits, and they show up to a fancy hotel where they have this elaborate plan, but we don't know what it is. Like, we, the audience, don't know what it is.
Right. We do know that the blackmail message said that he needed to meet the blackmailer at the hotel with a certain amount of money, or else Miss Dawson would get hurt. But we don't know what the plan is.
I didn't even catch that.
Oh, well, it's fine. I was distracted by how cool it was that a door closes with a button, I guess.
Also, so they get to the hotel and they yell, "Okay, guys, places." And I was like, that seems like not an efficient spy thing to yell.
No, like, you should at least have code names or anything. But anyway, so in the hotel, a lot of stuff is going on. Like, Mr. Mosby would not be pleased. There's a lot of running in this lobby.
Stop, I'm dying. That's amazing. So they chase. They're on this wild goose chase, and somehow, like, Meanie sees them. And I kind of don't really necessarily remember how they got here, but all of a sudden they're chasing him into, like, this basement area that holds a lot of mysterious gases. And Meanie is, like, doing this weird chase with them, and then he turns on all of the gases, which seem like they're toxic, but Lindsay Lohan has her bracelet stuck on one of the knobs, so she, like, almost doesn't make it out alive, and it's, like, this really dramatic scene, like, oh, well, these 12-year-olds choke to death.
Yeah, that's heavy.
And so they make it out, thank God, because Jack is a resourceful hero, and he finds a pair of, like, wire clipper thingies and clips her bracelet off, and they go outside of the room. And then basically, like, this is, like, the dumbest, like, hero, like, it's like, this bothered me because Lindsay Lohan is the hero of this movie and not Bug Hall, but she does that, like, thank you, Jack, wow, thanks, and then kisses him on the cheek.
Yeah.
And then he just gives this weird sheepish look and then doesn't say anything, and then they continue on their mission.
Yeah, and they leave it at that. There's no kiss at the end of the movie. That's, like, all we got. But yeah, I agree. Like, she's the hero. That scene didn't need to exist. He should have got, like, his puka shell necklace or something, like, stuck on a wire or something. Should have been the other way around.
Yeah. So then she hears, like, screams from a distance, and then she finds that there's been this, like, sketchy sign affixed to this wall that says, like, spa this way. She hears all of these, like, screams, and then finds Miss Dawson, like, wrapped up in, like, really creepy spa garb, but, like, kidnapped.
Okay, tell me, were you traumatized by how Lexi frees her, but she's still in, like, a bathrobe and, like, face gunk, and then pushes her into, like, a hot shower while she's screaming and, like, closes the curtain and leaves her there? Like,
it was so weird, and, like, this is another situation where Miss Dawson could not be a fucking creepier actress. Like, it was so weird. She doesn't say anything, even though her mouth has been freed now. She just is like, and you're like, wait, ah.
Yeah, this was, like, something out of a John Waters movie, or, like, the new Twin Peaks has, like, a real, like, this reminded me of, like, scary shit from Twin Peaks. Like, I did not like it.
I was not a fan. Anyway, then, cut to this fancy, like, boardroom thing within the hotel, like, the event space.
Right.
And somebody is talking to them, to, like, this crowd of journalists, and he's like, we have a city councilor joining us who has pretended to be a homeless man for the last so-and-so weeks, like, to see what crime and poverty is like on our streets. Like, please welcome. And then his name is Gary I Care.
Like, I don't know if the writers for Get a Clue, like, wrote it thinking it was going to be a cartoon like Kim Possible or something, but moments like that make me think they thought it was going to be a cartoon.
Yeah, it's just like they named this good city councilor literally Gary I Care.
And they just... Gary...
And so then we find this plot, like, ties up nicely because he's like, I was pretending to be a homeless man, and the, like, you think that this is just a coat? Like, this is survival for somebody who's homeless. Like, a man gave me this coat right off of his back. And we're like, oh, Mr. Walker's a good guy because he gave a homeless man his coat off of his back to Gary.
Yeah. And Lexi gets a little learning moment of like, wow, I never thought about ugly clothes that way, that they could help people.
Yes, that was great. And then also funny, Lexi's dad, who's a journalist, is at that press conference, and he just sees Lexi running around, and he just mutters to himself, Lexi.
Yeah, that was a great moment.
So then there's all of this drama. Walker and Dawson reunite, and they have this cute moment, and Mr. Walker is cute AF, and once again, Miss Dawson is so fucking weird. She's like gasping.
Yeah.
And I was like, can you learn how to act? Thank you.
But at least he's selling it for the both of them. And then, because his mom's there as well, which that was never clear to me why his mom was at the hotel, but they see
me neither.
That she's wearing a very ugly but very expensive brooch. And we get another 80s flashback, and we find out that the money launderer that framed Mr. Walker had planted all of the money in this, like, blood diamond that's worth exactly $10 million.
And we find out that that fraudster is Meanie. So, like, we kind of knew this.
Ooh, yeah.
Jack does this elaborate thing where he, like, times a large cake that happens to be rolling by on a thing, and he times it so that, like, he pushes the cake right on top of Meanie.
Yeah, and those are, like, some
gotcha,
more
criminal.
Yeah, those are some more Hotel Tipton shenanigans, but gotta do it. So then we see a bit of a flash forward, and it's Dawson and Walker's wedding, and the whole school was invited, and Jack got his scholarship renewed, which was, like, the 10th subplot that I forgot about.
Wait, sorry, we skipped over this one part where, like, after Meanie is revealed, he gets arrested, mm-hmm. and then Walker's mom is, like, yelling profanities and is, like, super excited and goes, I've passed 2 kidney stones and a case of sciatica in time it's taken me to see you in handcuffs.
Oh, how could I forget? I'm so sorry.
And then Jack is like to Lexi, he's like, what brain do you store this information? Like, referencing, like, how the fuck Lexi recognized that it was this, like, rare canary diamond. And she goes, the bauble department. Okay.
Right. I will say, in general, Lindsay is, like, a charmer in this movie. Like, you could see why she was such a successful child actress.
This is the role she was, like, born to play. She's really good at playing little, like kind of assholes, like, scheming girl, like, kids.
Yeah, like, see Parent Trap.
Yeah. So anyway, Walker and Dawson get married in what seems like 2 weeks later.
Yep.
And then also, she tells Gabe, she was like, Gabe, I'm sorry Diane aired the story before you did, because, like, Gabe had been filming all of this, like, detective stuff the whole time, and I was like, Diane Sawyer? Or, like, someone else named Diane?
Yeah, I think they made a Diane Sawyer reference at the beginning, so it was, but it's, like, cute that they're on a first-name basis.
Basically, like, Jack and Lindsay, like, share this little moment, and, like, we kind of see that they're cute together now and whatever. And then they walk away in unison, and then they say the best line. Lindsay Lohan has, like, her final voiceover as, like, the sassy narrator, and she goes, "New York has got to be the coolest city in the world.
Yeah.
It has a little bit of everything, be it mystery, intrigue, or good friends. It's all here. And if you can't find it, well, you just have to get a clue." And I was like, wait, that actually doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, this is a movie that wasn't made to be picked apart, I don't think.
I don't think so either, but I really enjoyed it. What would you say your rating for this movie is?
I was, like, so fond of this movie. I think I'm going to have to give it, like, a really nice, I'm going to give it, like, a really nice 4 furry magenta shrugs out of 5.
Oh, you liked it that much? That was way more than I was expecting, actually, from you.
Oh,
you have very high
it.
Standards.
Maybe it's because I'm just living in a New York minute now, baby.
So I think my rating for this, I think I'm actually going to see you eye to eye here, and I'm going to give it, maybe I'll give it, yeah, I'm going to give it 4 local spy stores out of 5. Because like you said, like, I think that the plot makes no sense, but
nope.
I'm fine with that because, again, like Cadet Kelly, this is the type of movie where, like, even though the character is totally shallow and, like, really doesn't deserve any of the success that she's found, it still shows young girls that, like, even though you're not quote-unquote smart in, like, a what society tells you smart is sense, you can still be able to, like, solve national mysteries and, like, help out your friends. And you know what? Your love of fashion and beauty will come in handy one day when you have to when you have to solve a high-level crime, just like Legally Blonde.
That's a very inspiring argument, and, like, I totally agree. I think this is a fun one.
So, do you want to do a very quick Where Are They Now?
Very, very quick.
Where are you now that I need you?
Yeah, there's not much to say. The only things that I want to point out, Lindsay Lohan is just up to her regular shenanigans. Like,
yeah.
I can't even say anything new about her. Bug Hall, all I want to point out is that his Insta bio is, quote, "still a rascal, just bigger. Actor, writer, producer, garage philosopher, gunslinger." And I was like, man. And he has multiple pics with guns.
Well, I looked it up and he is from Texas.
And his name is Bug Hall. So, like, yeah. He was kind of born for that.
That's, like, the name of an actual little rascal.
Yeah. The other thing is Brenda Song is currently filming a movie or a TV show in Toronto, and I need to find her.
Whoa, yeah. Please track her down.
Did you know that she was engaged to Trace Cyrus, aka Miley Cyrus's psycho punk brother?
When was this?
This was, like, for several years, but they're not together anymore. I had to read an article on J14.com about this, and J14.com makes you enter your age before you can access the site, and that was a moment when I was like, what am I doing with my life?
Do you have to be just 14 to enter? Is that the only option?
I actually don't know, and I should try it out. But, like, it gives you the option to, like, be 100, and I was like, y'all know no 100-year-olds are on J14.com, but okay. Also, the last thing is creepy Miss Dawson is played by a woman named Amanda Plummer, who is the daughter of Christopher Plummer.
Oh, what? Excuse me.
Like, I wanted to hate you, and she's been in so much. Like, her IMDb is the most impressive thing ever. She was in Pulp Fiction.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is all super weird, but also I guess that means she's Canadian.
Yeah, she must be. Like, I really wanted to hate her and be like, oh, a shit random DCOM actor, but, like, she's actually quite accomplished.
That is super bizarre.
Yeah. Huh. Anyway, so all in all, I'd say that this movie...
Should have stuck to plumbing, plumber.
Good one, good one. Yeah, so all in all, I would say that this movie is... I would say this movie is... a solid, like, 2002 DCOM. Like, this is what the genre is all about. Like, it's a classic.
Yeah, I want my DCOMs to sparkle and bubble, and this one sure did.
This one definitely sparkled and both bubbled. Okay, friend.
Okay, so I'm gonna take off my, like, furry boa McHeadset now.
Okay, so enjoy the rest of your fancy New York lifestyle, and I will catch you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, find Brenda Song, and yeah, Skype me tomorrow morning to show me what your outfit's going to be for school.
As always, and everybody, please, please follow us on Twitter at DecomGroupies, and you can also send us an email, DecomGroupies@gmail.com.
Please.
Or just like, yeah, you can email us about anything. You could tweet us about your problems. We'll respond to really anything.
Yeah, we'll be your advice column in the newspaper. Yeah,
totally. Okay, well, I'll catch you later.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, bye.